afternoon, everybody. I would like to introduce you to the Tech Talk here at the Microsoft Switzerland. We are doing it in two ways. We have an audience here in Zurich, in Wallisellen, and we are doing the live streaming over the link. We have the program set up in two parts. In the first part, Berger, Stuart, and I, we are doing a short introduction to Team Foundation Server and Project Server. And in the second part, we have two partners. One is Cabana and Schott, and the second one is Neos SDI, and they are doing two demos, live demos, with Project Server and TFS integration. That's the second part. We have two breaks between, and we will announce them after the presentation. So let's start with Team Foundation Server 2010 in a nutshell, I called. We have introduced Team Foundation Server 2010 in 2010, in May. From the audience here, how many of you have worked with Team Foundation Server until now? So, just one haven't. So, I'm just quickly show you the ecosystem around Team Foundation Server and Visual Studio. So we have a Team Foundation Server based on SQL Server. It's running on a Windows server, and we have different let's say roles that can work or interact with Team Foundation Server. There is on the left hand side the project management part, the requirements management part. There is of course a source code control or a version control repository. There are modules for test case management, build automation, and reporting at the end. And everything is customizable via the process template. So we have XML-based process template, and you can customize each discipline or each part of the Team Foundation Server via the XML files. There is also a lab management part to do virtual testing or testing on a virtual environment. And then we have the different version of Visual Studio to interact or to access Team Foundation Server. There are three editions for the developers or the architects, the Visual Studio Ultimate, Premium, or Professional. And then we have the edition which is called Test Professional, and Test Professional is just for a tester role. So the tester role has a different setup and a different tool to access Team Foundation Server. On the right-hand side, we have the Team Explorer, which is a shell of Visual Studio to access Team Foundation Server. We have the Web Access. It's for using via the browser. And then we have a huge extensibility, so a .NET API to extend the Team Foundation Server to access with the own controls. And there is also available from our house, so from Microsoft, an Eclipse plugin that the Java developer can work with Team Foundation Server. They can access Team Foundation Server from Eclipse. And of course, there are some different modules. There is an Excel integration, project, client integration, our expression tools, and SharePoint. We are using SharePoint as a project portal site. Let's talk about a few words about the evolution of Team Foundation Server. Team Foundation Server is, the first one was 2005, and after that they came Visual Studio 2008. And we actually had increased the stakeholders, to Visual Studio 2010. We have additional stakeholders addressed for 2010 architects, software architects, and software tester. So that we have I've talked about with the test professional edition. So that's, we are now in planning for the next version. Maybe we can have a chat afterwards or to talk in break about the next version, which is called Visual Studio 11 at the moment. So the next one is about the bridge team foundation service for software development teams so that they can quickly or build better quality software. And in the past, we had a lot of different roles. So we have businesses, developers, architects, DB responsible roles, and testers. And we want to break these walls down and build a more a bridge. And Team Foundation Server is building this bridge between the different roles. So there's one tool for different roles within the software development project. Another perspective is to look in terms of application lifecycle management. So every application has an application lifecycle. So it starts from planning, from the idea, goes over to the implementation, testing, deployment, and finally to the operation. And every task or discipline has different activities, and we are supporting these activities with the Team Foundation Server for software development projects. The key, in our understanding, the key to have one tool at the back end is to have several tools at the front end to access the Team Foundation Server. So we have familiar tools for each role. For example, we have the project client. We will see more about in the next presentations about the project server. But there is a standalone project client integration. We have the Excel integration to access work item. I will come back to this later. We have the web access to access this information. And we have the Eclipse plugin for the Java developers or the Java or the Eclipse-based development. And of course, we have the Visual Studio. And I'm going to start now with the work item tracking with some examples. We have a work item tracking. Work items is a generic term for a task, bug, etc. And we have here an example out of Visual Studio. And a work item has always three attributes. So there are a list of attributes in it, which you can see on the bottom of the screenshot. And you have a workflow behind this work item, and you have always a graphical representation of the work item, so the layout of the work item. Here you can see the integration in Excel to edit, to bulk edit a lot of work items. The second part that I want to show you is the source control integration for maybe for quality gates. So there is a source control module where you can check in, check out, branch, merge, etc. The source code. There is a branching mechanism behind, so you have the possibility to manage branches, so different versions. As you can see on this screen, we have a branch, a separate branch for every iteration or a production release, whatever you like. So it's depending on your project, on your process, how you how you're going to build this structure here. And this screenshot here is about the branching visualization, so you can visualize how the branches are depending on each other. Here's another example. Here you can see the branches that are affected by a check-in. So which branches are affected by a change set? So this is an example of that. And there is also a release management with automated builds. So you have the possibility to do automated builds. We have different triggers. You can run a build or a release manually. You can do it continuously, time scheduled, or you can do it with a gated check-in. The gated check-in is some kind of a quality gate, an automated quality gate, where you can have several checks before the changes from a developer got committed into the source code or source code repository. So that's an easy way to control the quality of a project. And at the end, we have the regular schedules to schedule a build. And here you can see a build report. And this build report does not only show it was okay to build or everything could be put together. You can see here on the bottom also the included check-ins or the included changes that you can use for release notes, automated release note, or some other information. I mentioned at the beginning the lab management. We have a lab build process, for example. We can do a build process deploying an application to a virtual environment. So the build process is creating at the beginning a virtual environment based on Hyper-V. And we are building the application on a build agent, deploying the application to the virtual environment, virtual test environment, that's a temporary environment. There is a possibility to doing automated tests, so we have the possibility to run automated UI tests against the application under test in the virtual environment. And the test results got back into the Team Foundation server for reporting or traceability reason. The other possibility on the virtual environment is to run manual tests by a tester or a developer or whatever, whoever likes it to test. And finally, I have put together some reports. So the reports, there are different reports and dashboards in Team Foundation Server, not only together with project servers, or there are also available in a standalone mode. So there is a burndown chart for project tracking or a dashboard for test and quality issues. Or, for example, a test coverage. On the left-hand side, you can see the requirements or user stories. And on the right-hand side, you can see the test results covering these requirements or the bugs resulting out of these tests. And a little bit deeper in the Team Foundation server, there is also, for the automated test, the code coverage. So which line of code is covered by a test. So that's another possibility to trace or to track quality in the software development project. Code coverage based on functions or methods. And that's about it from the Team Foundation server part. We will see a few other things during the next talks from the partners. And I'm now handing over to Burger Stewart. Stewart. With the project server introduction.
Okay. Can you hear me? Good. So, my name is Burger Swart, not Stewart. I am responsible for Project Invisio as a solution specialist in at Microsoft Switzerland. I would like to introduce you today to Project Server 2010 and give you a bit of an overview of what the solution is about. What we see it's necessary for, why we see it is important, and later on we look forward to seeing some of the real-world integrations with Team Foundation Server. So when we build a solution like Project Server, we really look to address specific business needs. The Project Server or your project and portfolio management solution needs to give you an overview of all your projects. It's quite normal that it has to do that. Secondly, you need to see all your projects and you need to measure these projects and see which ones fit the best to your company. Objectively, of course, looking at your business strategy, what will give you the best strategic value for your company. Thirdly, it would be great if you have a centralized overview of your resources. This is also a central part of the integration to Team Foundation Server because it gives project managers a better view of what the developers are doing, and it gives IT development managers a better view of what the project managers want from them. Fourthly is the money. It's always about the money and the financial performance. You need a good overview of that, a solid basis from where to get your financial performance, see if you're staying within budget or not, and make the reporting easy, and that you don't need weeks and months of reporting training to draw a specific report. Finally, when it is implemented, it is such an important solution, it becomes a line of a critical business solution that you also need to be able to integrate the solution with others. That's why the API is open. You can integrate it to other line of business and ERP systems like Dynamics or SAP and so on. And this is really significant because your costing, invoicing solutions can then be published to Project Server and give you a better overview of where you're spending and your resources are going to. This is a real marketing slide, but it's actually quite important, and it's not because of Project Server, it's because project management and portfolio management actually does matter. Standish Group, if you look at the bottom right of the slide, they did a 10-year study where they looked at failed projects or successful projects, challenges within projects, and they found that in the U.S. alone, every year, $55 billion is wasted on failed projects. It's a significant amount of money. Companies that have integrated or have taken project management as a discipline into their companies have reported that the return on investment, that means the less projects fail or more are successful or they are ahead of time, under budget, the ROI has improved by 25%, productivity significantly improved because you don't have to run after people to get approvals or status reports. The methodology and the discipline takes care of these things. And then at the moment, or it's been for a while, everyone wants to always cut IT costs. IT is actually a very small part of the total budget of the company. So if you think if you cut 2 or 3% of your operational costs, that's by doing the correct projects and doing them successfully, you'll save more money for your organization than cutting 50% of your IT costs. Something to think about. What is portfolio management? It's the continuous process of identifying, selecting, and managing a portfolio of projects in alignment with your business objectives and the KPIs you get from that. What does it deliver? Pretty clear. improve business outcomes, and reduce costs. That's what we all want. Another marketing slide. What's more importantly is with Project 2010, it's really a significant release for us from Microsoft. It's really the first time that our project server is an enterprise-ready solution, end-to-end solution, and it's built on top of SharePoint. It's a SharePoint application. Big challenges within project management or portfolio management within organizations is that you generally have trouble with collaboration. You generally have trouble with storing the documents, finding the documents part of a project, or to which project does which document, where does it belong, and so on. And SharePoint really helps our portfolio solution or portfolio managers or project managers solve these issues. It gives us really a very strong base from where to base our portfolio management solution. The architecture basically looks like this. You've got Windows Server 2008. SQL Server 2005 is okay. 2008 is better if you want to do more advanced reporting with Excel services. And then obviously SharePoint Server 2010 is necessary. On top of SharePoint Server, you've got Project Server. You can access Project Server with the Project Web App as the front end. This is where you'll do most of your portfolio tasks, selecting the projects, doing your reporting, and so on. Project Professional is the professional project manager's tool. It's a rich client, gives you a lot more functionality, and that connects to Project Server as well. The logical architecture, and I'm glad I didn't have to design this slide, but obviously when you, this is pretty much what SharePoint's architecture looks like as well. If you install SharePoint, you've got on the right-hand side quite a few databases. Project Server installs four databases, a draft database, a publish, reporting, and an archive. As you can see in the middle, we've got things like a queuing service where requests will be queued from everyone before that's been taken care of. Eventing service, which is there for sending out emails and notifications to users. And then we have the web server and the client at the front end, obviously. Something to note is the project server interface is the API that is used to connect to other solutions, third-party systems, and so forth. When we built Project 2010, we focused on a couple of major areas. Legacy project systems, people did not especially love them or use them enough. So we really tried to make the user experience better. We tried to make it more intuitive. And we tried to design everything to look and feel the same as the Office with a ribbon interface, and Project Professional, the rich client, we tried to make that more like Excel. Then we unified our different project servers, and we also invested in creating a scalable and connected platform. So the intuitive user experience. As you can see at the top, Project Professional today has also got the ribbon. It's the same as other Office products. We've also included or created something called manual scheduling. For those that have used Project Professional before, you were always forced into specific steps and into a specific project plan, which could be troublesome if you've got 5,000 tasks and it tries to recalculate the whole project after making one change. Today, you can manually schedule specific tasks, manually schedule and change them to automatic scheduling, and you can change everything at once. It acts a bit more like Excel. Unified project and portfolio management. In 2007, we had a portfolio server. We had a project server. We used a gateway server to connect them. It didn't work fantastically well. We unified all these solutions or products into one. Today it's just Project Server. Project Server is the end-to-end product. It's up to you what you use within Project Server, but you get everything from demand management, resource management, their BI and reporting, The portfolio optimization and prioritization, everything is within Project Server today. This is a very significant slide because it shows you how scalable and how easy it is to connect our solution to other systems. On the right-hand side, you'll see SharePoint. That's obvious. It's a SharePoint application. Visual Studio, we'll see a lot. That's the reason we're here today. It integrates to Team Foundation Server. To Exchange, Project Server integrates directly to Exchange Server by sending specific tasks that have been associated or that have been sent to a person. It can put it directly through Exchange Server in your Outlook task list. So people can update and receive the tasks that have been sent to them directly in their Outlook without needing to go into the Project Server. Office, it's obvious, the reporting, Microsoft Dynamics, we've got out-of-the-box synchronization to our Dynamics solutions. And additional to that, a couple of our partners have built some very good connectors to SAP, which in Europe is really important because most people's ERP systems are on SAP. Obviously, there's an integration to SQL Server. It's built on top of it, but it's important for the reporting. The reporting is actually done in SharePoint using SQL Server services. Finally, from my side, before we have a little break and go on to our partner presentations, Gartner published a new report called the Market Scope. It was published in June. Microsoft received a strong positive rating. What's significant about that is that our competitors, our traditional competitors, all moved one step down. Microsoft is in the strong positive with a couple of more niche players who have all cloud solutions. The reason we are there is Gartner clearly says it's because we are integrated into SharePoint. It gives us a massive advantage over other solutions. Yeah, because Microsoft's total strategy is in the cloud, I think that also played a role. That's it from me. We are continuously innovating. We are continuously working on the solution. We've got tons of partners, fantastic training partners as well. The internet is full of tools and documentation, resources that you can use. It's a strong, stable platform, and yeah, I look forward to speaking with you, and if you have any questions, please speak to us in the break. We will have a 20-minute break now. Then we will return, and Adrian Adam from Campana and Short will introduce top-down scheduling or project management integration with Team Foundation Server. Thank you very much.
Yeah, okay. My name is Adrian Adam. I'm responsible for our Swiss office of Campana and Schott, located here in Zurich. And I would like to present you three topics related to Project Server and the Team Foundation Server integration with Project Server. As we already got an overview from Berger Swart, based on the slides he showed us before, I will give you a live demo of Project Server, just to give you an overview of the features, how they really look like, how they could be used for your projects. Afterwards, I will explain the integration of Team Foundation Server with Project Server based on a top-down planning approach. So, rough planning in Project Server and then the detailed planning in Team Foundation Server. I will not go too much into detail there, as we will see another approach, the bottom-up planning in the presentation after mine. And as a third topic, I would like to show you an agile approach, a combination of an agile and a phase-driven approach, and how that could be supported with Microsoft technology. In this case, I will show you some screenshots how that could be, how it could be supported, this approach, with SharePoint. First, two or three slides for those of you who do not already know Campana and Schott. We are a consulting company established nearly 20 years ago by Christoph Campana and Eric Schott, and we're now about 200 people, which are located in our 10 offices that are in Europe, most of them in Germany, but you see here on the map as well our offices in France, in Austria, Netherlands, and in Zurich in Switzerland. We are gold partner for several disciplines, as you can see on the right side, Microsoft Gold Partner, so concerning the topics we discussed today, the most interesting here is, of course, the project and portfolio management and the portals and collaboration partnership. Most of our projects are in this area that you can see here on the map, but as most of our customers are mid-size or large companies, we also have a lot of projects with international focus. What services are we providing? We have here on the top level the management consulting part, so everything related to project management without technology in the background is meant here, so services like defining PM processes for our customers, or building up project management offices is here provided. And in the lower part, the technology consulting, here our technical experience is located, everything based on Microsoft Server technology, as you can see here. We also have a development department, so if the standard functionality of Microsoft products is not sufficient, then we can extend the platforms with add-ons that are based mostly on Project Server or SharePoint Server. We do not have a specific branch focus. That's what this slide should say. So our customers come from different branches, finance, production, telecommunication, and such things. So maybe one interesting slide before we go into the live demos. In the past 2 years, we analyzed articles that were published in project management, scientific and practical journals. And the topic that was mentioned most was the topic differentiation, which means we have in our companies different types of projects with different requirements. When we think about, for example, merger projects compared to software development projects, we would use a phase-driven approach for the organizational projects, for example, and we should use, for example, an agile approach for the software development projects. So the companies already noticed that it's not really useful to have one common approach for all kind of projects, because all these projects have different characteristics and different requirements. And that's also something that you have to keep in mind when providing a platform where you store all your projects on, where you want to do a portfolio management within your company. Somehow you need to be able to put all these different types of projects on one platform to get an overview what is currently going on in your company. So let's go to the project server live demo. As Berger already mentioned, we have two interfaces that the user normally uses. On the one hand side, we have the project professional client that you maybe already know, which can be used in the standalone version. You see here the ribbon navigation, as you already know it, maybe from project from the Office 2007 products like Excel, PowerPoint, etc. And on the other hand side, we have the project web access, the project web app, which is based on Internet Explorer. The project client is normally used by the project manager, which does his planning of tasks and the steering of the project. And the project web access is normally used for all user groups beside the project manager, for example, the resource management, the members in the project team, the management. On the left-hand side, you have the main navigation, grouped by type of information. Everything around projects is here on the left-hand side. Everything around my task that I have to do within the project is below my work. The resource managers see where the resources are allocated, in which projects here in the resource area in the resource center. And then we also have a strategy part for the strategical portfolio management. Everything that you can see here can be reduced based on the permission management. There is a permission management with about 100 specific permissions that can be set so that everyone only can see what is really needed for him. So it's not getting too complicated for the users. It's, for example, if you have a project that are not interesting or shouldn't be seen by everyone, that you can limit the view for different user groups. All the users that have access here to the system can be included via the Active Directory interface. It's really easy. You just type in the Active Directory group and you can synchronize all the users with the project server and then give the permissions for them. So a common start to show you the functionality here is that a new project should be created. One of the main features here is the project center, where you have an overview of the whole project landscape in the system. Each line that you see here is one project. In this case, it's grouped by a workflow phase. You have different views that you can use. In this view, we have information like the project name, the cost of the project, and also some graphical indicators that can be based on a calculation that you can put in, as you maybe know some formulas from Excel. And each view also has a famous Gantt chart where all the projects can be seen on a timeline. You can use several templates for your projects to not start from the scratch. For example, here in this case, we have several templates like software development template, where all specific tasks that normally should be done within the project are already included, and the project manager can then reduce the content of the project plan to what is really needed for this specific project that he wants to plan. Let's go into one of these projects to see a bit more details, what information can be stored within such a project. For each project, so-called project detail pages can be defined. I'm here now in the project payroll system upgrade, and below this you see 6 or 7 of these project detail pages. Basically, these are SharePoint pages which can be configured. Here, for example, we have one page with project data, like the name, the description, the start date, etc., which can simply be typed in here. For description of objectives and restrictions for a project, you can use these lists, SharePoint lists, which are easy to integrate here. The project detail pages can look different. You can have such a choice list here, or you can include graphical web parts like such a risk matrix where you can track the risk for your project, and then these are shown here on the heat map. And you can do also the project planning, the rough planning here over the web interface, which is a new functionality of the 2010 version. Here you can check out the project. You can directly type in and change the project content. Berger already mentioned everything is based, or all the data is stored in SQL Server 2008 in this case. There you also get the analysis services. You also get the reporting services. And with SharePoint, you get, for example, the Visio services and Excel services to store such documents on the system and make them available via the web interface that we can see here. So here we have write access to an Excel via the Internet Explorer, and the cost data for this project can directly typed in here in the project server. So, for example, the cost estimation that is typed in here, I can change this, and also the diagram below, it gets directly updated. So here, new projects can be created. Most of our customers are using it for gathering ideas that will be put onto the system and to decide which project ideas should be executed or should run further in the workflow. Workflow also one functionality that comes with the SharePoint server. We can also have a look on that. So, if you like, you can let your projects follow a specific workflow. This is just an example. You can define, of course, you can define your own workflow. And several approval steps where, don't know, portfolio boards, etc., have to give their approval can be included here. This is based on the workflow foundation of the SharePoint server. So once the project is created, we can hand it over to the project manager, and he will then use normally the project client to do his project planning. So here we see all the tasks, all the activities of the project that were already planned. We see some of the activities are already completed. We have dates and work packages defined here. We see the Gantt chart on the time phase basis on the right-hand side. And yeah, just to show you a few of the new features, I can simply type in a new item. You can create such a hierarchy for your activities. I can put in a milestone, for example, at the end of this summary task, And so I plan the dates, I plan the work packages, and maybe I also plan such dependencies between tasks, as which you can now see here on the in the Gantt chart as well. So new features which I would like to mention. You can mark these tasks as manually scheduled tasks. So the calculation of the project client that is normally done automatically. If you have a delay at a specific task, he calculates a new finish date. This you can disable with this functionality. For example, if you do not know if this task will take 20 days or not, you can simply type in that this is to be defined, and you're not forced to type in estimations that you obviously cannot do at the moment where you are doing this rough planning. Another feature is the inactivation of tasks. So if you want to do some kind of scenario planning, you have different ways how to implement features of your software that you want to create within this project. Then you can plan these alternatives and set the alternative to active or to inactive just as you like, and inactive alternatives are completely excluded of the overall time calculation in this project. Once you've done your planning, you have to include the resources, who should execute and work on these activities. Here in the project server, compared to the standalone project client, you have all the resource information on the project server itself. You have the feature called Team Builder, where we have on the left-hand side all the resources that are in my company, and on the right-hand side I have my project team. So I can plan with generic resources. I don't know exactly who will do a specific task. I can just plan in a developer, and once I want to substitute this developer with a specific person, I can click here the match button, and the system shows me all the people that are in the developer group, for example. And if I want to get some information about their availability, I can click on the graph button and get an overview based on a specific timeline that I can choose, based on a specific granularity, on based on month or on a daily basis, weekly, etc., to see, okay, who has some capacity left. The black line is the capacity, and the bars below are the allocations of the specific persons, of my developers in this case. Everything is also available as a table with the specific figures. So once I've done the planning, the resource planning, the task planning, I would save a baseline to track against the baseline in the future when the project is running. I will skip this feature now because of the time we have. And let's go one step further in the process. I have assigned resources, I have a project team that wants to start working and does start working. So what can the team members do now within the system? We have here below my work a task overview. So first I have to sign me in as a different user. Just a second, so the project team that also has access to the system normally just let me check Well, then I just explain it without showing you the feature. We have a timesheet here within the server where the project team can report their progress of their tasks. Okay, here we can see it. So here you see grouped by what is currently my work, the current period here with the yellow grouping and with the blue grouping below the tasks per project. So the payroll system upgrade project that we've seen before, there is one task, develop code. I see the specific dates where the task is planned. I see the progress here with 34% already completed and such information about the tasks that need to be done. And here on the right-hand side, I can type in per day how many hours I've spent that day on the specific task. With integration of Team Foundation Server, we will see, okay, this can also be done by the developers, for example, that are using Visual Studio, can also be done within the Team Foundation Server. So I have the plan data, I have the actual data reported by my team members, and the line manager that is responsible for his team maybe wants to see, okay, where's my team currently working in, and has the possibility to get an overview, okay, who is exactly in which project, when are they available for other projects, when are their projects finished. So here I have a view grouped by the resources that are in my team and the resource availability view as a report, a graphical report, how much availability I do have in my project team. Okay, so reporting with all the functionality that comes with the SQL Server 2008 is an important topic here, also in the project server. All the project data is stored in the SQL databases. So everything around the availability of my project team, of my resources, all the information about the project and the tasks. And here in the business intelligence part, there are some examples how such reports could look like. I can use KPIs with the performance point services of SharePoint. I can use Excel services to show such reports we can see over here. And the reporting services, for example, for reports that need to be printed out, I can also use this as well. So the fact that Project Server is based on SharePoint allows us to use project sites also for the specific projects. So if I like, I can go to the Project Center, and from there I can directly go to the workspace where the project team is working on. I click here on project site, and then I have a SharePoint site where the project team can store the documents that are created within the project, and they can track their issues, their risks, can have a project calendar as we can see here, can track their tasks that are currently on and which are not planned within the project, can have team discussions. So all the features that can be used within SharePoint can be used here for the project team to better collaborate within the project. Okay, this as an overview of Project Server here within the live demo. Now I would like to go one step further in the agenda to the top-down planning approach, so how the integration of Team Foundation Server and Project Server could look like. There are several use cases that are supported by the Team Foundation feature pack that is provided by Microsoft. I will roughly show a top-down planning approach. And just to go through the process that I will show to you briefly, we have two roles here in this process. The project manager that defines deliverables, that does the rough planning in his project plan, that's shown here on the top level. And then we have the integration, the synchronization engine, what in fact the TFS integration is. And then we have the second role, the team lead, so the detailed planning, which then takes place by the development team within the Team Foundation server. So for this, I have to change the demo environment. So same interface. Here we see the project web app with a few, with just a few projects here. We will focus on the e-commerce project. So let's open this in the project client. The project manager simply logs into the project, to the project server, opens this project, and can do his rough planning. What we see on the top here is the so-called timeline view, so it's a bit more management-like view of the project content that can be used for PowerPoint slides or status reports, for example. And here we have the project content. So I simply type in a new task, for example, for our software solution we need a shopping cart that need to be implemented. I can plan in here the dates and also the remaining work. And here, the responsible person, I just type in the head of the development team, Peter, which I assign here to this task. He will do later the detailed planning. And this task should be published to the team server, and this is a work item type requirement, work item type, as we've heard before, is the term in Visual Studio for the work items that need to be done by the development team. So I will publish my project now. So the synchronization takes place in the background now. And the data is pushed to the TFS. I will close and check in my project. And now the development team comes into play to do the detailed planning. So Peter has to do the detailed planning here. I log in as Peter. And he just works in his Visual Studio, so I will start this and open the team project to that my project server project is linked. So beside all the other tasks that are in here, I already see the shopping cart requirement that was defined by my project manager. And I will do a detailed planning. I will create a child work item. That is a task. I type in what work I estimate for this. So remaining work should be around 20 hours. And I save this work item. So these work items now that are on a detailed level will later be aggregated to the rough level and then pushed to the project server, all the information regarding the work that is to be done here. So I will type in one more. Sorry, I want to make a link type child. Write unit tests is the task. And here I will add another person, assign Eduard Dell to this task. Here he is, and type in the work package of about 40 hours. So I also save this work item. Here for the rough plan shopping cart, I have to type in some required information. This is a feature. And I will save also the shopping cart item. So, new tasks are created. Now the project manager comes back into play and has to approve the change of the planning that was done here by the development team. For this, in the project server, I have an approval center. And in the approval center, I can give my okay from project management side that the planning that was done there, the estimation of the effort that is done by the development team, that this is okay. So I see here the status updates. I see some more information about what was done here. I also see what was changed because of the more effort that was here estimated. Also, some of the dates changed. And I can review this here with some detail views. But for now, I just check it and accept this. In the background, this information is now updated and pushed into my project plan. So the changed planning is included into the project plan with the new dates, with a new effort estimation. So when I go back into my project plan, I hope it's already pushed into the plan. No, not so far. Let's wait a few more seconds. The queuing service of project server is running in the background and is working on these changes for my project plan now. Now I opened it, and as we can see here, the originally planned 8 hours of remaining work and also the allocation of Peter was changed to 60 hours of work, and also Eduard Dell is now allocated to the project. I do not see the details here, as I'm as a project manager in this case, for example, I'm not interested in all the details, but the estimated effort, the allocation who works on that work package is aggregated and pushed here into the project plan. So a bit more about this in the following presentation. I would like to show you another possibility how to support projects with Microsoft technology. I will close this over here. So let's go back to the slides, and let's come to the third part. I would like to present to you an approach for agile projects based on SharePoint server and project server, how your agile project can also be supported with Microsoft technology. Just to repeat, agile projects have specific characteristics. I've put in here the agile values, where agile methods are normally based on. So in an agile project, it's you normally have the case that you do not focus so much on the formalities, the documentation, compared to phase-driven processes in project management. So a working software, the customer collaboration, the change management, all these topics have a higher priority compared to contract negotiation, for example, to comprehensive documentation, processes, and tools. So this means they are working in a different way, these projects, but it could be the case that in your company there is, from the project management office or from the company government, there is a process given, a process-based process, for example, from the Project Management Institute or IPMA or whatever, and you have now the challenge to execute your agile projects, and when being asked for a status report, for a project contract, etc., then you normally do not have this and that form that a process-driven process approach, project management approach requests this. So how to handle this and all that on a common platform. We have several advantages in agile projects. We have a higher flexibility. We have resources that are effectively used within the projects. Complex software developments can be managed easier with the small iterations that you have. But on the other hand side, you also have some risks that you have to handle. So, for example, resources which are normally working completely 100% in one agile project. This is not often the case. Often you have the case that the people that you have in your team are working on different projects. Also, when it's asked to have a project proposal so that you get your project approved by the portfolio management, for example, you often do not have such a high sophisticated business plan or whatever there is needed. One agile method is Scrum, which is working in that way that you have a product backlog where all your software features that should be implemented are stored. You can imagine it as a simple list, and these tasks that need to be done to implement these features are combined into sprints that normally last about 30 days. So you put in all the product backlog one after the other into a sprint backlog, and then the development team does the fine planning on their own and will execute all the tasks that need to be done. And after the 30 days, you make a review, and then you decide, okay, how should the next sprint look like? Compared to a phase-oriented classical PM approach, where you have the initiation phase, the plan, build, run phase, the project management, and all the documentation that normally comes with it, with monthly status report, etc. So how to bring this together? A combined approach could be that you have the execution of the project in an agile way that we can see here in the middle, but that you have at the beginning and at the end of the project a formal initiation phase where you create such a project proposal that the portfolio management needs to approve your project, and that you have a definition of the scope, and after each sprint that you can create a report where it's stated what is already achieved within the project. So both worlds are in focus. For both worlds, you can create what is needed for them. Of course, also this has the advantage on the one hand side, but also the disadvantages on the other hand side, as you do not completely focus only on one method and have to do, for example, reports that you normally wouldn't do in the Scrum project then. So the proposed solution here is a SharePoint solution which, where the SharePoint platform is used for do all the planning of the product backlog, of the sprints and all the tasks that need to be done. And on the other hand side, to fulfill the resource management requirements, the formal requirements of the phase-driven project management that is possibly in place in your company, you also have a project server where the agile project is just roughly planned. You just have a sprint, a release, no detailed planning, just to cover all the resources that are used in that project and to cover all the details about their allocation, so how many days they are planned to spend in the coming weeks or months in that project, to allow a resource management on an enterprise level and to allow the portfolio management to see, okay, we do not only have, for example, 100 classic projects running in our company, we also have now all the agile projects within our PM system in the project server, and you have the visibility over the all the whole project landscape. So what is done on the SharePoint side? The release and sprint planning, the product backlog, the sprint backlog. Here the team can do the whole detailed planning. And on the other hand side, we have the project server. And as we will see in the next presentation, you can do also the agile project without having SharePoint on the left side. You can use for the detailed planning also the Team Foundation server. So what needs to be done? We plan the sprint and the release dates for our agile project. We create the product backlog items. We create the corresponding tasks that the development team has to do to achieve the features in the backlog items. We confirm the completed task, and then, of course, we analyze the results. So just a few screenshots how that could look like on the SharePoint side. We can work here with simple lists compared to a simple Excel list. You have here the advantage of a web-based solution, transparency for the whole project team. They simply can access the system with the Internet Explorer. And here in the sprint dates, I will plan all the tasks for a specific sprint. I can type in information, descriptions, whatever I like. And then I get to a list of my product backlog where all the features are stated and what needs to be done in the project. Tasks can be created, and also the progress within this task can be included here. So which task is all already finished and which not. And then I can have such dashboards where I also have a burn down chart, as we've seen it already on the TFS side in the first presentation, or I have the list of all the tasks and all the features per sprint, which of the tasks are currently in progress, which are just planned, which are finished, and I can analyze the results in this manner. So here also standard functionality is used, SharePoint lists, Excel services reports, as we can see them here on the top. So depending on what software you maybe already have in-house, you see, okay, with Project Server, with SharePoint, with TFS, you can have a good supporting platform with many features that will possibly help you in your agile project and also in the classical driven projects to combine them into one system. Okay, that's it from my side. Any questions? Klein Moment. Wir haben hier noch ein Mikro.
I guess I'm not too familiar with SharePoint 2010, mm-hmm. but I'd like to know there are TFS templates, there are apparently project server templates, and I know that there are SharePoint templates. And I would like to know, do the project server templates understand, for instance, third-party TFS templates when you select in your project there a work item? If I have different kinds of work items defined in my TFS template, are they understood by project server or only a limited number, of, for instance, of standard Microsoft templates on the TFS side?
Yeah. Concerning the project server side, you can create whatever template you like, but you have to fulfill some specifics that it can be linked to the team project in TFS. The TFS feature pack, of course, also has some limitations. So I cannot say everything is supported. You have there some limitations. How the linkage is done and how it can be configured, I think we will have a deeper insight in the next presentation. So you have some flexibility, but you, on the other hand side, you have also some restrictions that you have to keep in mind when doing the linkage.
TFS 2010, as I understand it, creates Windows SharePoint Server 3 sites, and the project server, as I understand it, creates SharePoint 2010 sites. Is that correct?
I don't know exactly about TFS. Yes, it creates SharePoint 2003 sites. You should decide on which SharePoint site you should the project team work on.
Is it possible to create SharePoint 2010 sites as a TFS 2010 portal, or is it limited to WSS 3?
Yes.
Yes, it is. Okay. Can we go back to slide 16 here?
Yep.
Mm-hmm. I guess, again, it's my lack of knowledge about SharePoint 2010, but you keep speaking about SharePoint planning. And as I understand it, we're here talking today about project server and TFS. Mm-hmm. And so this third element is a bit confusing for me. Can you try and differentiate a little bit clearly what that means?
Yeah, specifically for agile projects, you need a place where you can do the detailed planning, where you do the planning of the features of the software, of the tasks that the agile project team then will perform. Project server, from our understanding, is not the right place to do the detailed planning there, because when you have sprints that last 2 weeks or 4 weeks, and then a replanning is done, which task will be implemented in the next sprint, etc., then you have a lot of work for the project manager with the project server plan to do the replanning. So that's not really efficient. So project server should be limited to a rough planning. So the detailed planning for this, you should use another tool. You can do that with the Excel sheet, of course, but then this is not linked to any server product that we see here. You can use the Team Foundation server to do the detailed planning, or you can also extend this platform with SharePoint, with the functionality that you get with SharePoint for doing the detailed planning. So for an approach where you do the top planning, the top-down planning, where the project manager uses the project client to do the rough planning, and the development team does the detailed planning, you can do that either on the SharePoint side or in the TFS.
And what exactly do you use in SharePoint to do this agile planning? What is the
functionality is here explained here is that are SharePoint lists. You can simply include them there. You can define, okay, I need a title for my items in the list. I need the effort that is planned for it. I need to allocate it to a specific sprint that you simply type into the list. Then you have defined it, and then everyone can use it to type in items of the product backlog, for example.
You can have SharePoint lists in many different kinds of SharePoint templates.
Mm-hmm.
Is there a particular SharePoint template which you are using here, or can it be any template which supports a generic list in SharePoint?
The lists are standard functionality, but you should combine it into one template. This template here is created by our own, but it's no rocket science. You just have to put in the list for the product backlog, for the release sprint, for the sprint backlog, and then save it as a template. And from that point on, everyone can use this SharePoint site for supporting the different Agile projects.
Can you give a few words about this Team Builder add-on?
The Team Builder is no add-on. It's a standard functionality of the project server, which is used within the project client. As I said before, all the resource data, the names, the capacity of each employee in the company, etc., is synchronized to the project server, so that you have one overview who works where and who is over-allocated and so on. The Team Builder is used for the project manager in his project plan to build out of all the people in the company to build out of this the project team. So if you, let's say you have 100 employees in your company, but for your project as a project manager you just need 5 people, then you open the Team Builder, add the 5 people to the project team, and from that point on you only concentrate on these 5 people.
I assume, as with TFS, that it's virtually impossible to do this without Active Directory in the background.
It's impossible to use this without Active Directory, you mean?
That's right. And there must be enough trust between the different components for all of this to work together.
It's the easiest way. I don't know exactly if it's mandatory for TFS. Yeah, it's nearly mandatory. What we've done in the past is that we used an interface to enrich the employee data with some data that is not stored in the Active Directory, maybe, which is then stored in SAP or whatever. So synchronize the Active Directory into the platform and then enrich it with some more information from other systems in the company.
One of your earliest slides had reference to something called CS Connect. Is that one of these third-party SAP connectors that Birger Stewart referred to in his presentation? Is that an SAP connector?
Yes.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, then we make a 20-minute break.
Okay. So we should start our presentation. So welcome to this presentation. We will talk about TFS 2010 and Project Server 2010 integration with another approach. So it's a bottom-up approach. So I'm Sylvain Gross from NEOS SDI. So what we will discuss, first, what do we call TFS and Project Server integration? I'll discover what the purpose of this integration. Presentation of the value of Project Server, the value of TFS, and then the benefits that we can take if we integrate both products. After, we can have a discussion on different technical consideration, and after we can I can answer to questions, and we can continue the discussions. So first, Neos SDI. So Neos SDI is a IT company only focused on Microsoft technology. So we are created in France, and we are a newcomer in Switzerland. So since October this year, we have different competency, different workload in the Microsoft platform on application, infrastructure, BI, project management, and so on. So you can have here the list of all the products where we are working on. We are gold partners on 13 competencies, including ALM. So the company has been created in 2001, and now we are more than 150 collaborators. So we created the Switzerland agency in October, and we have so now an office in Lausanne. In the near future, we think first half of 2012, we create a new office in Zurich. So we have a position, because we are pure player, Microsoft pure player, more focused on expertise. Okay. So we're in our added value. So about me. So I'm Sylvain Gross. I'm the BU manager from the business unit, the Europe business unit. I'm also technical leader of the ALM, PLM workload. I have different competencies around methodology, project management, and some experience and certification. You can see here my different address, phone number, if you want to contact me after the presentation. If you have some questions, don't hesitate to contact me. We are ready to make some presentation on peer-to-peer on your company if you wish, on pre-sales discussions. So we are open for that. So I'm here with Sébastien Frosio, with the sales manager from Neos SDI business, Europe business unit. So now, let's talk about our main subject, which is integration between TFS and Project Server. What we want to do is to provide a bidirectional communication between two worlds. So build a bridge between project management and team management. In the past, there were already a connector which was available on Cortex, but now the difference is that this connector is supported, localized, and documented by Microsoft. So now it's really, it works, really. Okay, so what we can implement this connection in your company. We will not, in this presentation, repeat exactly what has been said before by Berger and Adrian. Just to summarize the value of Project Server. First, the project, the portfolio, and the selection of the project into the portfolio. The portfolio status. The schedule management. The resource management. And the dependency management. Portfolio selection. Have somebody already used the portfolio management in Project Server? Okay. So it's a really a great value of this product. You have a different project proposal. What are the best projects for your company? So you define strategy, and you can use Project Server to help you choosing the correct project which are the best aligned with your strategy. So you have here a screenshot that explains a little bit the functionality. next functionality, the portfolio status. So with project server, you have a repository where you have all the project of your enterprise. All your company's project is available on one place. So you can have a great picture of the situation with the project names, different status, KPIs that you can define, and the schedule. Everybody knows the schedule management capability of project server and project professional. So you can build Gantt chart, you can assign resources, define dependencies between tasks, etc. Resource management, because you have all resources, all your company's resources defined on one place, you can, it's easy to choose the available resources for your project. You can here say that one people here is available for this time frame, so you can pick up him and assign him on the project. We will start with a demonstration. So we will create a new project. So we switch to the virtual machine, and on the project center, as Adrian showed us before, we can create a new project. So I define different type of project. So it's enterprise project type. One is called Agile Project Plan. So I will create a new Agile project. I give a name. So for example, Tech Talk Live Demo. And we save. So you can define different kind of template. So I choose a template which is really, really simple with no workflow, but you can create a project with a workflow, an approval, workflow, etc., etc. So here it's really a simple project. It's created. I close. The project is checked in. And he's available here in the project center. Now, I will open it in Project Pro, so to show you how it looks like. Okay, so it's open in Project Professional. So I define some tasks, some free iterations with 15 days duration, because all of my company's project are built with this model. Okay, so it can be defined as you want, but for the example, we will use this model. So I wait that to have the hand on the project. And what we will do is to assign or to define a team member on this project. So in the resource, I will here and assign one resource to the project. Now I will make a small modification. I will use the possibility to have some manually scheduled task, because my iteration, I define manually the date of the iteration. I said the iteration must have a duration of 15 days, so I define the start and the end. So I don't want that a project or TFS or whatever will move this date. So it's manually scheduled task. If it is ready, we can save and publish the project to the server. Okay, we'll wait a little bit. So the publish is complete. We can close and check in. Okay, so let's return now to the presentation with the next product that we want to integrate. So it's Team Foundation Server. So the value of TFS is the work management for the team. Okay, so it gives, so with the different value and input that we put into TFS, the possibility to have a good view on the progress of the development with the work progress. We know the achievement level of each task. We know the result of the test, because TFS is a very powerful product for testing and quality follow-up. We can have a view on bug trends, build status, etc. So we'll show the same kind of screenshot. So in TFS, you can define the work breakdown. This breakdown can be defined in Visual Studio, but also in Excel. Has somebody used the possibility to edit the work item in TFS through Excel? No? Yes. Okay. So we will use this possibility in the presentation. We can capture time on task. So time management, and it's always a big challenge on a project, how to catch the time that all our resources spend on their task. So with TFS, it's possible to directly, that people can directly put the time they spend on each task through Visual Studio. We have on the work item form, we have different value that you can set. So you can say remaining work 1 hour, and I already completed maybe 5 hours. Okay. So it's very easy for the developer, because Visual Studio is his tool. Thanks to the different information, we can build some dashboards. So here are some examples of dashboards about the progress. You can see the burn down chart, the evolution of the number of tasks that are open versus closed. We can have a code defect trend. So what about the quality, the bug progress, the build status, what is the quality of each build, and an overview of the requirements. So achievement level, test, what about the test, if this functionality has already been tested or not, how many bugs by function, by requirements. Okay, so let's switch to the demo again. So now we will create a new team project with the same name as we used. It's not mandatory, but it's easier to remember. Okay. So we use the standard process template, but it's not mandatory as well. You can use your own process template. And then TFS will build your team project. So it will include a SharePoint library, which can be defined on SharePoint 3.0, but with SharePoint 2010. It's completely possible. You can have some reports that you will define into the process template. You can define different kind of work item. Everything is totally customizable. Okay, our project is created. So now, from the Team Explorer, we have the possibility to create our work items. And we will start with the product backlog. So we are in an agile mode. So the starting point is the product backlog. So I can define the product backlog from Visual Studio, but because it's a list of requirements, it's easier to do with Excel. So I prepare a list of user story. So we imagine that we have to develop a web application with some basic functionality around login, logout, etc. So the user stories are defined here. And I simply copy and paste into Excel. Now I have to say what kind of work item I created. So I say it's user stories. I can assign an iteration. So the three first are into the first iteration, next one to iteration two. Can define some story points, so it's an image of the workload that each user story will represent, and I can publish. Now we have the functionality, but we don't have the tasks. So we will create now our iteration backlog. So it's another Excel file that is created with my team project. So here again, I prepared a list of functional tasks that I will copy for each requirement. Okay. So tasks are children of user stories. So I will create here a child. I have five tasks. I will say that the work item type is task. Assigned to the same user for simplification purpose. We can define here duration in hour. ORM maybe only 4 hours, 8, and 4 again. We define here iteration. So we stay in the same iteration. So now it's okay. I will copy the same task for all the user stories. So, same manipulation. So, add child. We add copy the complete line on the next user story. Same thing here. Okay. No, not okay. Okay, now we can submit our iteration backlog into TFS through a publish operation. Okay. So now the work items are defined into TFS. To save some time, I will now connect the enterprise project defined in project server and the team project created in TFS. I will establish the link between the two projects. So for that, I have to use a command line that I've prepared just before and simply passed here. So we can go more into detail after, but it takes some time. So it's better to save some time here. Okay, so while it creates the binding, we can continue with the presentation. So now, what is the value of the PS, the project server and TFS integration? It's to have up-to-date project status for agile projects and formal projects. Sometimes you have in your company some projects which are managed through agile methods, but sometimes they are managed through formal method, more traditional. So thanks to this connection, you will be able to have a view on each kind of project. The purpose of this integration is to hide the detail of a project to the project manager. The project manager is mainly focused on the requirements and on which date he will be able to deliver this requirement to his customer. He don't have nothing to do with the details, with the task. I have to add a method on this class. For him, it has no value, but it must be managed. It will be managed by the team into TFS. Project manager will continue to live with project server, and team leaders will continue to live with TFS. And thanks to this connector, all information will be exchanged and synchronized to have a view, a global view, on the project. So TFS, we saw that TFS is a work management system. We define requirement, we define tasks. Project server is a scheduling engine, so it takes one hand, we have requirements and tasks. We have people. We have dependencies between tasks. And the engine will be able to calculate the date for the project and define the different milestones. Okay. Now, let's start for the main demonstration. So we can see here that the mapping has been correctly done. So it's okay. Okay, so we will return to our product backlog. So I will add some column to this Excel file to say, okay, I'm linked to this enterprise project, and we will define if we want to submit or not this work item. So I add this. Here we have to put the name. So it's again Tech Talk Live Demo. Okay, publish. After, we have to choose if you want to submit or not the work item. So we make the choice to submit to project server only the user stories. We will hide the tasks, but we will show the user stories because they are the requirements, and the project server, the project manager, cares on the requirements. So I publish. Okay. So now, after publishing, the synchronization engine will work and make the mapping between the work items defined into TFS and the tasks defined in project server. So here we will take a look if what happened on the work items. So you can display the work items from Visual Studio. So here I ask for the product planning. Here my my user story, and he has not finished. We can see that if you have synchronized an enterprise project with a TFS project, we have a new tab on the work item called Project Server, where we can define the same information as in Excel. Okay, so here we see that we want to submit to Project Server and the name here of the enterprise project. So normally it should synchronize, but it takes more time than usual. Okay. So we'll discuss on different technical things, how it works really, and return to the demonstration when it will be finished. So a look at how it works. So we'll establish a communication between the workstation in one with Visual Studio. No, sorry, the Visual Studio is here. So first we have the TFS server here in one with the service pack one. We have here the TFS 2010 and project server integration feature pack. So it's a component that you have to install on the project server. Okay. And on third, you have Visual Studio with Service Pack 1 and optionally Project Professional. Okay. So this is on the workstation. When you want to configure this communication, you have a certain number of steps. First, you have to manage some administration permission. So it's normal security things. After, you have to register PWA as a server instance. Then you will map your PWA to project collection. After, you have to work on the field mapping. So when you install your feature pack, you have a default mapping. I will give you some information about that on the next slide. But you can configure your mapping and define other kind of mapping. Maybe you want to establish a link between the risks in TFS and the risk in Project Server, for example. So you can make it. So you upload the field mapping, you modify it on your computer, and then you download it again on the server. It's the same mechanism if you want to customize your process template into TFS. It's an XML file as well. Then you have to associate the enterprise project and the team project. So that's what we did with the command line. And after, you have to think about the TFS users and the project server users. You are obliged to integrate your users in the in project. Okay, we will see if he finished his synchronization. Okay. So on the history of the work item, we can see here some new information. The project server synchronization made something on this user story. So he submitted the request to project server. So it means now that the communication between user story has been done to the project server. So now we will be able to load our project. For example, with a project professional, you can make it through PWA. It works as well. And I load the project. First, I will approve my machine is a little bit tired. I hope you aren't. It's a project web access. So it's a web client for our project server. And you can access to a project server through project professional, but also through a web access. Your connector, your instance of connector, has to know PWA. So you, Okay, so close. Okay. So we have new task request here. I have to approve this. This update. So we can add some comments. Okay, for me. So now tasks have been approved, they are created, and now I want to update it with some values that I put because I defined some work on each task. And so I have to approve again. You can define some rule to make this approval automatic. In fact, for demonstration, I made it, but something has not worked. But you can make an automatic rule to approve the update. Okay, so the new information are now in project. So let's open it. He has not finished. He's checking. Was a little bit violent when I closed project. Okay. So now the project might be checked in. So there is some task on the queue. I closed my project professional a little bit too quick. Okay. I just make an offline operation. Okay, let's return while he make his job to the presentation about the field mapping. So we have some default field mapping that are implemented when you install your feature pack. The task name from the project server size is mapped to the TFS title. The resource names are assigned to linked to the assigned to field. The remaining work on remaining work, actual work on completed work, baseline to original estimate, and the start, of course, it's very logical. Okay, so now I think my project will be ready. Okay. Just have a check before put on the light. Okay, here we can see new tasks that have been created. Full screen, okay. Okay. So we have our iteration here and some new tasks created in my Gantt plan. There are user stories seen from TFS, but here it's tasks. So now I have to move these tasks to their according iteration. So the first ones are put into the first iteration. So next one here. It's okay. We see here that we have some overload on some resources, so we can use the leveling function of project to say, okay, I want to level and to avoid over allocated resources. Okay. Now, if it is okay, we can save and publish the project. So now we have a Gantt with our tasks that have been defined into from TFS. And we don't see the details of UI, ORM, service function, etc. But the work has been defined. Okay? So this value comes from TFS. You define the value of the work into the tasks, each task, and the connector will take all the tasks from one user story, add them together, and link these tasks to the user story. Okay? So, publish again. Okay, I close and check in. And we will return to TFS. So now we can imagine that people develop the application, and so we have to change here the remaining work and the completed work. So we can make it through Visual Studio with a form in Visual Studio or in Excel. So let's say that, for example, for the first user story, they complete all the job. This one is partially developed. Then we can publish. To show you the possibility to edit the task and the time from Visual Studio, we will make it. So on iteration, iteration backlog, we will select one particular task. For example, this, no, not this one. Okay. So our 5 hours here. Here we are on Visual Studio, so the developer can really easily put his information here. So it's not very complicated for him, so no excuse. He has to put his value on the work item form. So I save. What we can say that is that here we have no information about synchronization, because the synchronization is established between user stories and tasks in Project Server, and not from tasks in TFS. On the tab here, see that we have no synchronization, but the value is uploaded at the user story level. So now it's okay, synchronization has been done. We can return to Project Pro, load our project. Okay. And we can see here that we have some work that has been done on different user story. As you want. Okay. So here you have one task which is finished. Okay. 100% completed. One is partially completed. Okay. So this synchronization has been done through the engine. And without any update validation, because we have an automatic update, because we say that we want to make a bottom-up project management approach. So it should be logical that we have an auto approval rule in place. Okay, so now we can publish. And check in our work. Okay, the demonstration is finished. If you have some questions, I'm listening. Yeah.
Why did you just have to publish there? Your time is being updated from the TFS side. Sorry. Why did you just have to publish here? Because your time was rolled up and synchronized from the TFS side to the project server side, but then you had to make a publish on this on the project server side. What was the need for that?
It was not really necessary. In fact, in project server, you have different steps. You have the draft and you have the published database. When you publish, okay. You have to publish it in the...
So until you publish it, it stays in a rough state. Okay.
Yes. In fact, what is published is always what is the reference. And if you publish things, things are also copied into the reporting database for reporting purpose. So it's important to always publish things.
Okay, I understand that the connection is pretty new. I mean, this connector has only been since February, March or so.
Yeah.
And I know that in TFS, it's a great product, but we still have problems. You have to use add-ons, for instance, if you need to resynchronize a workspace from a developer's point of view. You need some add-ins. It can be difficult to back out changes, to delete work items from a user. But now I see now we're synchronizing between TFS mm-hmm. and a project server, and I make a mistake somewhere, how difficult is it to undo or unsynchronize or back out that now that I have this information in two different server sides? Are there third-party tools? Or is there a relatively good user management UI on the project server side that I can undo bad changes, or how difficult is it to really use this thing?
In fact, we'll say that we are not really on a synchronization. We manage always two sets of values. And it's like two books management, it's called so-called in the documentation. So what is easy to do is to say don't submit to project server if you want to cancel the synchronization. You can then delete your work item, or you can delete the task on project server, and so you can work as if you have no connector between both products. So it's quite easy to do. No?
What's the kind of mistakes we're talking about? For instance, there's an estimated work on a TFS task that says 4 hours estimated. I give
5 hours.
Four hours completed. And that, and on the project server, this then shows complete. But then I come and say, I didn't really finish it. And now I need to go back and say, I need to increase the estimated work from 4 hours to 8 hours. So now I still have 4 hours remaining. And I just will just then undo this little, nice little icon on the project server that says task complete. Does it show then 50% complete? Will that happen automatically?
Yes, it's there.
See lots of non-complete.
Okay.
Yes,
sir.
Okay.
It also depends on your process, whether the project manager has to approve what you've done. I mean, that can also delay the process of doing this, so it depends.
Yeah. All this part here on the UI where you have to say accept or confirm or whatever.
Okay. If you're right, if I'm wrong, but
Yeah, it's true.
I've just seen from the TFS side, it can be difficult to correct mistakes.
But you have some third-party tools that facilitate the administration. A lot of job has been done with the 2010 version, with the admin console, which is very, very powerful. But some tasks, you cannot do it, like delete work items and so on. So you have to put it like on command line. But there is some tools where you can do it very easily.
Okay, some other questions? Otherwise, we are at the end of this tech talk. Thank you all the speakers for the presentation, and thank you for the participants for coming. We will publish the slides and also the streaming from today to our website, so you can access the information from there. Thank you for coming and have a nice evening.